I want to today ask you to turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. And this topic we're going to get into today is one of my favorite topics because it represents one of the most important principles in your life, that is grace. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love one for another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. What a great text. Our topic today is manifold grace, everything you need. Say this, say God's manifold grace provides everything I need. Now, this is a loaded text. We'll, at the end of the message, go through each verse briefly, but I want to begin with asking a question. The question is, what is the greatest invention of all time? What do you think? What is the greatest man-made invention of all time? Wheel? Anybody else? Huh? Lights? Microwave? No. All right. I would say it's the wheel. Because the wheel, not only the wheel on your car, but the whole idea of a wheel where you even pulleys and things, we use wheels all kind of ways. Even when they were rolling stones to build like the pyramids, they used logs and they rolled the stones on, pushed them ahead on logs. You know, log is a wheel. Now, I say that because we can't imagine in our mind what it's like before there was the wheel. I mean, imagine having to push everything along. You know, we have things in the church to move along sometime. We have carts and things. Imagine if you only had to scoot and push everything around without the benefit of a wheel or lifting without a pulley. Now, I say that because we take wheels for granted. We take that principle for granted, and yet it is for us one of the greatest inventions in our lives as a culture, as a society. And I want to suggest to you that the greatest gift in your life is the grace of God. Amen? Now, I'll tell you, a lot of things in life are great. I've got a great family, wife and children, and wonderful church, and I got possessions, and I've been places, and I've been given a lot of things. I've earned some things. But when I think about it, the greatest thing I have, the greatest gift I've ever received is the grace of God. That is, understanding what grace is. Grace is, we know, God's unmerited favor. Favor just means that somebody wants to help you. Somebody is chosen to come alongside. Someone is chosen to prefer you, all right, and do things for you. So favor is great. But if all we had from God was favor, it wouldn't do much good. I mean, people can favor you what you need is some help. I mean, favor sometimes means I like you, I feel good about you, but you need more than good feelings. You need actual help. So grace isn't only God's favor. We teach you this often, that grace is everything that God has that he makes available to you. Say, grace is everything that God has that he makes available to me. Now, those are words. I just used some words right there. But please understand what the words mean. Grace is everything God has. And God has a lot. Question, is there anything that you need that God does not have? There's nothing. But yet, here it is. Everything you need from God is coming through this thing called grace. It doesn't come always through the way you think it comes. It comes through grace, and grace is a power. It's a provision. It's something like the will that you need to get things done. So let me say that when Peter here says, talks about good stewards, verse 10, he says that as each has received a gift, he says, minister it as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God's grace is the basis of our salvation and the foundation for our life and service in God's kingdom. Now, imagine people, well, imagine it happens, people trying to minister and do something for God in their own self, in their own strength, but not from God's grace. I mean, you know, whatever people bring you is not coming from God's grace. Number one, you don't need it. Number two, it's probably going to be some kind of hook in there to get your money, to get your, you know, get you give up something you don't need to give up. I mean, people don't have the ability to do for you what God does through people who operate in the grace of God. Is that true? Grace is the basis of your salvation. Now, grace is also God's product in your life. Say product. Product. I'll explain it to you in a moment. Now, product. What's a product? You know what a product is. I mean, I've got here, I've got an iPad here. I've got an iPhone. Some have Android phones. These are products, all right? But the product is designed, many products are designed to be tools. But yet, if all I had was an iPad, but nothing on it, nothing in it, I'm just flashing, I got an iPad, you know. What you doing with it? I don't know how it works, but I got one. That's not very good. That's not very valuable, see? So my point is, God's product, grace is God's product, not something that we just have, but something that is a resource for us. You follow me? All right, let me give you an example. Make this clear to you. What we don't have is a label and a barcode. Your faith, listen to me, your life in God is not like a barcode on the product. See, grace is the product, not the barcode. Let me explain it to you more. Now, you know, barcodes are used, you know, for scanners to scan, and the product, you know, is what the barcode says it is. But here's the hook to this. Here's the real key to that. The scanner only responds to the barcode. I mean, let's say if you're going to buy, you know, I want a filet mignon steak, and it's shrink-wrapped in there, and there's the barcode on that, all right? So you take it up there, and they scan it, and, you know, and it costs like, you know, $20. It's expensive steak, right, you know. But then if pull a barcode off of that and take it on, they can put that on some old cheap cut of meat and take it to the front and scan it, it's still going to say what? $20. Because the scanner only scans the barcode. It doesn't know what the product is. You follow me? It doesn't know what. Now, sometimes, you know, it's true, you go to stores and that price is wrong. You know what I'm saying? Scan that thing. Hold, stop. Wait a minute. Time out. You know, my wife always checks the receipt. I just buy stuff, walk out the store. She stops and look at the receipt, every item, and compares to what's in the bag. Now, I don't do that. I should do. I've gone back. I had to go back sometime, you know, because the scanner doesn't know what the product is. It only knows what the barcode said. Well, my point is, sometimes as believers, we think that we're like a barcode. Just scan me and it come up Christian. You know, and it come up believer, and it come up servant of God. But if the product of grace isn't operating in us, then it don't matter what the scan says. You follow me? We need more than what the author Dallas Willard calls barcode faith. Sometimes people think that, you know, that, you know, just I say I'm a Christian and whatever I say, scan that and just be happy with it. But, you know, no, we want to see God gave grace. He gave grace. He gave grace for a reason. And And the grace that we have is God's product. It's the substance. It's the resource. It's what actually makes us be what God has called us, Christians, disciples of Christ. You got that? So with this barcode faith that Willard talks about in one of his books, he says that sometimes people think or live like being a Christian has nothing to do with the kind of person you actually are. You think about that, see? I mean, I'm a Christian. Did I pray today? No. Yesterday? No. A little bit over, I say grace. I mean, you know what it is. We all have to challenge ourselves with what the barcode says, but what the product is supposed to be. We know that God is calling us for more, and grace gives us more than just these superficial labels. What you don't want to be is just a churchgoer. Come on, our face in the crowd. We want to be the people of God, as Paul said, who have received a gift, and we're ministering the gift we received one to another as good stewards of God's grace. Make sense? All righty. You know, these scanners don't know anything. I mean, the scanner, the scanner label could be on a bag of dog food, and you go up there and it says ice cream. That's pretty obvious problem there. But sometimes my point is the product that we have been given by God, sometimes we really don't see it. We're not really focused on it. We're focused on a label. Amen. Now, grace is your greatest resource. Say, grace is my greatest resource. More than money, friends, and professional connections, etc. Now, I've got friends. I've got some money. I've got professional connections. But my greatest resource is the grace of God. Because grace is everything God has. See, people only have a few things. Sometimes you go to people, and, you know, I've been to meetings, I've been to events, I've listened to people, read books and things, and then I get into it, I've been invited, go check this out, and I get there, it's like, that's all you got? Is that it? That's all? I mean, because people just can't do but so much. But the grace of God never disappoints you. Matter of fact, the grace of God will leave you with more questions and a need to learn more. So focus on the grace of God as a resource. When you feel limited or you feel stuck, don't know what to do, remember that God's grace is manifold. The word manifold really just means diverse. Look it up in the Strong's. It means diverse. It means it's many-sided. It's multifaceted. So the grace of God isn't one thing. It's many. In fact, it's everything you need when you're limited. Here's how you get out of it. Many times when people are stuck or they can't see a way forward, they just say right there, you know what, I can't see a way. I just can't see how to get through this. That's where they camp out. I can't see how to get through this. I just don't see a way. Okay, well, listen, if you're operating in grace, what you do is you keep looking. See? Okay, I don't see a way. But manifold grace is many-sided. So what you want to do, don't just admit defeat and walk away. Don't just say, that's a barrier I can't cross, and then give up and give in. Because grace has many facets. And if you keep looking into the grace of God, keep looking at your life through the grace of God, through the Holy Spirit, you're going to eventually see something. You're going to find an answer. You'll see a solution. And here's the crazy part. It was there all the time. Sometimes we don't have ears to hear. You know, they did our parking lot. It's almost done. A few more things to do. I told my dad the other day, I said, there's a manhole over there near where the van is normally parked. There's a manhole. Like, how long has that been there? It's always been there. There's a manhole. The drain is obvious. The drain is right in the middle. But toward the curb, there is a manhole there. A cover, you know. And I thought, now I knew it was there. But if somebody had, I mean, if I was across town, across the country, I said, Pastor Hudson, where are the manholes in your property? There's one up front. There's a manhole up facing Keystone. But But are there more? No, that's it. That's all there is. Only one manhole. But they're telling me there's another. I'm like, no, man, listen, we've been here for 20 years. I know my parking lot. And then they walk me over there and point, look at that. What's that? I said, whoa. How long has that been? Who put that there? Who did that? It was built with that, see? It's amazing. When the whole nature of being stuck is you don't see anything else. That's why you're stuck. That's what being stuck is. You don't see anything else. You don't, your mind isn't going anywhere else except, woe is me. Or this is a tight spot. Listen to this. Another example I'll give you. If I had a video, I would show you. I saw a video one time, and it was a video to test perception. Now, I like to think of myself as being very perceptive. I got a very good eye. You can't get nothing past me, okay? I mean visually. And so this guy was on the TV screen, and he was juggling. He was juggling some balls. And then he would juggle and do stuff. And then for a few, maybe a couple of minutes, that was it. Then he came back and he said, did you see that? You know, the audience who's watching this video. Did you see the clown walk behind the man? I said, I didn't see any clown. And he played it back. And the clown walked behind the guy and waved and kept walking. And what it was, he had you focused on the juggling. And because your focus was on him juggling, you didn't see the guy in the clown suit walking behind him waving his hand. It was subtle, but it was there. I felt really dumb, like, how could I miss that? And it just shows us, see, when you're stuck, when you feel limited, it's because you feel stuck and you feel limited. You get that? I don't say why I can't see anything else, because all you see is what you want to see. You're only seeing the problem. You only see the problem. And grace is manifold. Say manifold. So what the grace of God does when we're into the mindset and the mind of Christ, and we're good stewards of this grace, is we look beyond. We look past the barrier and past the problem and look to Jesus who has the answer. Praise God. You know, Jesus, the Bible says in Hebrews that who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Remember that? Despising the shame. I mean, what if Christ had only looked at the cross? What if he only saw the suffering? Because, listen, when Jesus only saw the suffering, he said, Father, let this cup pass from me. I don't want this, Lord. Let this pass from me. But when he saw what the suffering would do, and he knew it all along, when he put his mind around the larger purpose of God, he could then endure the cross. See, we endure our pain. We endure our problems because there's more to my life than my problem. Amen, somebody. And my life and your life is not defined by the challenges that confront you. It's good news, isn't it? I mean, even people, I thought, when I was in college, way back as a kid, my first time around in college, I realized that I had a sense of mind that, you know, all of us here, we all broke, you know. Now, I had a roommate, a white guy, you know, put me with, who come from a wealthy family. I found out. And my family, you know, wasn't wealthy, but we weren't, you know, poor. My point is, but we were on the same level. At this school, in this dorm room, same, he didn't have no fancy bed, right? We had the same kind of bed. And I thought, I mean, as a kid, I realized, you know, all of us here are operating on a similar premise. But what we do with this education, with this experience in college, depends on what you see past and see beyond this, or how you get through this process. Now, but this kid, he was a funny kid because he didn't go to class. I mean, he didn't go to class. He didn't go to class. Maybe once or twice, he just stopped going. He played cards. Or he played euchre. Whatever euchre is, we play bidwish, you know. They play We play midwist, all right? And that boy played euchre and drank beer at night and slept all day. I thought, you won't make it. I had enough sense to know you got to go to some class, you know, a lot more than this. But what it was, he didn't need school. His daddy was rich. He was going to make it with or without school. So if he dropped out of college, he'd go back and work for his daddy doing something, making some money. Come on, somebody. He knew that this was optional for him. For me, it wasn't optional for me, you know. My point is, it's funny how that people, they see what they want to see, but the grace of God, the manifold grace, will make you see more than you're currently seeing. What did I say? And there's more to see, y'all. Amen, somebody? All right, then. So your responsibility is to use that manifold grace that God has entrusted you as good stewards of that grace. Now, a steward, we know, is the not the owner. I mean, this whole building here, I don't own this building. I don't own anything in here except my personal stuff, my phone and my iPads and my laptop. I don't own all this stuff in here. It all belongs to God. It all belongs to the church. But I get to use it. Amen. I get to use it for the purposes of God. And so that I'm a steward. But now, listen, y'all, the thing about a steward is aware this stuff doesn't belong to me. Therefore, I need to act like I'm in charge of somebody else's stuff and be responsible. So then, listen, y'all, as the grace of God has been given as a product, then we should take care of the things that God's given us. Amen, somebody? Dad and I were watching, sitting out there waiting on a guy to come and pour some concrete for us, and people were driving by and all this, and we were actually somewhere else, I think. But anyway, we saw, you know, people driving by. Now, I'm wondering, now, how can that car be 2 years old and it's all tore up? How do people do that? You know, 3-4 year old, how is it the bumper's gone? We saw a Chrysler 300 with no grill and no bumper on it. Just a radiator and, you know, it'll run without all that, you know. I mean, what's wrong with being a good steward? Even if stuff you belong, that you own. At least act like one day I might want to sell this to somebody. How about that mindset? My point is, I'm trying to get you to see, we should have a mindset about the grace of God that's like, boy, this is the most powerful and most important thing that God's ever given me. It's the most important resource of my life. It's what breaks me through the barriers. It's what gives me sight and vision and hearing. It's what heals me when I'm sick. It saved me. Hallelujah. And I must get others saved through it. So how much more should I focus on that grace? That's what I'm trying to get you to see and think about. The product, not the barcode, not the barcode label on us. I'm talking about who you actually are on the inside. Now look back at the text. Let's walk through this text. So 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers." Now, let's contrast this. Peter wrote that in his day, 2,000 years ago almost. He said, end of all things at hand. Oh, my God, that's pretty urgent, Peter. That sounds pretty urgent. And yet here we are all these years later, 2,000 years later, we're like, okay, well, was it really at hand? Now, here's the perspective we have. If it was at hand when Peter said it was at hand, it must be like, we must be like seconds away. I mean, in terms of the grand scheme of things, we are like on the precipice of the end of all things as we know it. But folk act like it's all going to be around here forever. Everything going to be the same, you know, everything. You know what? No. I mean, I'm not prophesying any doom and gloom. I'm telling you that we all live like all this stuff around here in this whole world, this whole life is not guaranteed to us. Amen. And it says, therefore, be serious and watchful. So in times of distraction and foolishness, these times we're living in, then grace provides a focused and serious perspective on life. Now I have fun. I enjoy life, y'all. I mean, I'll tell you something. I have a lot of fun. I'm very serious about my work, okay? If I'm working and you're acting foolish, I'm going to dismiss you or I'm going to leave you because I can't fool with somebody who's not working when it's time to work. Amen? But when I'm having fun, don't make me work. But the end of all things at hand, therefore, be serious and be watchful. And y'all, we need to have more serious Christians in this world. Amen, somebody. Amen. We need serious people. I mean, serious in the mindset, not just serious in terms of, you know, somber and just not happy and joyful. I mean, no, but serious in the approach. And grace provides that. Verse 8, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, it says, and above all things, love this, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover, not cover up, but cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. So staying connected to others keeps you available both to give and receive help. See, fervent love is not a strong feeling. Fervent love is strong actions, right? So when I'm connected to people like you and family and others that God has put me in their lives and vice versa, then guess what? Then we are available to receive help and to give help. A lot of people get in trouble because at the time of need, they have themselves isolated. And they're out there stuck by themselves. And so when the trouble comes, and Satan tends to show up when you're by yourself, come on, he tends to look before you get out. Because you know that when you're out there by yourself, you don't have any support. No one to call or lean on. But he says, have fervent love. Fervent means hot. Hot love, passionate love. I mean the holy love that we need to understand and recognize that by the grace of God, this love we have, it covers sins. Cover means that when persons are in trouble, we don't hide it. We don't just expose them and embarrass people, but we have the ability to go get them healed and forgiven, help them work through these problems and get forgiveness and walk with God and be righteous. Amen, somebody? But it takes love. It takes love, y'all, to help people who are in trouble. Because, say something, when people are in trouble, they are very reactive. A person in pain might haul off and swing at you. They might cuss you out. You can't. I'm mad at you. How dare you cuss at me? They hurt him. Don't get offended. Don't leave them. Have fervent love. Stick in there with them, even through their crisis. Amen? So he says, have this fervent love. It'll cover sin. Be hospitable without grumbling. Like, I helped you yesterday. You're back here today. You need, want me to help you again? I got to say hello to you again. I said hello. I said hi this morning. I got to say it again to you. What's wrong with you? Say grace. Say grace. Hey, shout grace. No, that's right. It takes some grace, man, to work with folk. Folk. Then he says, verse 9, verse 10, 1 Peter 4 and 10, he says, and to each one has as each one has received a gift, minister it, the gift, to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. A steward manages the property and affairs of another. He carries authority and discharges responsibility. God expects a return on his investment of gift and grace. Yeah. So right now, think right now. What are two of your gifts from God? Think right now. One, two. You should know. And the second question is, how are you using those gifts in the service of God or in the blessing of others? Because this grace you have, it came to help you. I mean, grace helps you. But after you've received it, it's designed to be shared. Amen? What if God kept all his grace to himself? What if God just bestowed grace on Jesus and didn't give us any? We'd be in a bad way, wouldn't we? And people are in a bad way because often we don't share the grace that's in on our lives. And as a good steward, the whole purpose is, in this context, you have received a gift, minister it to one another. I received it, I'm going to share it. I'm going to minister, I'm going to serve. Minister means serve. I'm going to serve with that gift. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, first part, 10, 11a, if you will. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If you ministers, let him minister with the ability which God supplies. So when we're talking, we want to speak as if God is speaking through us. He really wants us to be his mouthpiece. Even though we speak, we're responsible for our own words, our own actions, but we want to be people who have the mindset that I'm going to share with you what God has given to me. I'm going to speak to you in the way that God would speak to you. I'm going to try to speak to you in the way that God himself would through Christ. That's a tall order because sometimes you want to give people a piece of your mind. This is what I think about it. We don't really care what you think right now because what you think won't help the situation. Amen? Amen. Say, sometimes what I think don't help the situation. You know, I mean, years ago in the media camp, I hired a young lady from college, very, very short lady, and almost a midget, okay, but very short lady, and she had a short leg, and she wore a built-up shoe, all right? And I hired another guy, you know, and so we're in the meeting. He's talking about, man, you short. I said to her, you short. I'm like, dude, I said, come here, man. Not down. Why did you say that? Because she's short. Don't she know she's short? Don't we all know she's short? Ain't got in a built-up shoe? See, people just say whatever they're thinking. We don't care what you think. We don't care. We don't want to hear what you're thinking if it's not filtered some kind of way. I mean, filter that through the grace of God, through the real oracle of God. What would God say? He'd say, hello, God bless you. And she was a great worker. She, a little white girl, she taught video, did a great job. I mean, way back in the day, you know. And a couple of kids said, you're short. You know, kids will do that. They'll go there, you know, man. I was saying, how many times she heard that in her life? Now, I think it's her credit. I mean, she used to that. She brushed it right off. Wasn't no big deal, you know. In fact, she actually had control. I'm sure you're gonna sit down and be quiet, you know what I'm saying? And do this lesson I'm giving you. She took charge. I just thought, my point though is, if you're gonna speak as an oracle of God. Try to reflect the grace of God in your life. But here's the best part. If you're going to minister, I mean, do God's work in any way, I mean, preaching, teaching, ushering, singing, whatever you're doing for God, whatever, use the ability that God supplies. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because we already read, you have received a gift, so you have grace. So it's a simple equation. Grace in. Grace out. God gives you grace. You work with the grace God's given you. And that's what we try to do. That's my aim in life. Man, I'm trying to be faithful to everything God's given me. And it results in a whole lot of work I have to do. But it's all joy. Amen. I'm doing lots of stuff. People say, you're doing so much, Pastor. Well, if you had my grace, you'd be doing what I'm doing. You know what I'm saying? You have to go with what God's given you. I encourage pastors a lot in different things, and you know, God's put the grace to write on brothers and sisters, and so I encourage them, you know, to get it done, to write it, write the book, you know. And here's the best tip I give it to you as well. Here's the tip I give you. Here's how you get a book written. or in anything written. You start writing. But here's the best part. You don't start writing and stop and read it every 2 seconds. Let me see. I wrote in times of distractions. Let me see. In times of or in time. Just write it. Just write the whole thing and don't look back until you're done with a whole page or two. Then go back. See? Good tip, isn't it? That was no charge for that, by the way, you know. But see, the grace to do something isn't the grace to fuss over it. Hear me? The grace isn't to fret over the thing. The grace is to do it. Get it done. And there will be time to go back and fix it and make it better. That's a big secret. People miss that. They sit there and fuss over stuff. And I mean, you know, sometimes we do designs. And listen, y'all, there are 16.7 million colors to choose from. Just pick two. I don't know about this combination, but pick two. Just pick two. Pick three. And then go with it for then look back later. See, people, I'm telling you, as a person who does a lot of grace type stuff, I'm telling you how you do this thing, you get into it. You get into it. You get into it. And don't talk a whole lot about it. Because people who aren't into the grace of doing stuff, they'll slow you down. Put questions in your mind. So you got to go fast with grace of God. I mean, go fast. I mean, you go with wisdom. But use the ability which God has given you. See, I've got the ability. Yeah, it's going to be developed. It's going to get better. Which God supplies. We are using what God has allowed us to receive from his grace. Do you know the abilities and grace God has supplied to you? We asked the question earlier, okay? So the point, though, to that text is we're only using what God's allowed us to have. No more, no less. I'm not trying to be what I'm not. I'm trying to be what I am. I'm not trying to be that guy on American Idol who been told his whole life he can sing, and they push him along or embarrass him and say it's not your grace, and get in front of some professional judges who say it's not your grace, it's not your thing, man. They get all, then now you're mad at them. What you talking about? What do you mean? Somebody should have helped you before you got over here. It shouldn't take this long to find out what the grace of God is in your life. Now, it's not about perfection, you know, not about anybody singing or doing anything or writing. I mean, everything I do, there are people who do it 10 times better than I do it. That's not the point. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And what I'm doing looks to some people 10 times better than what they can do. So don't be intimidated when you're in the presence of somebody who's doing something well. You ought to be inspired by that. Not to be like them or to copy or compete, but to be challenged to use what you have. Amen? The old saying is true. Use it or lose it in one sense. I mean, you lose it completely, but the competence goes down. The quality, you got to use what God's given you. You understand that? And then finally, of the last verse, second half of 1 Peter 4 and 11, he says that in all things, here's why this is all, we're doing all this way, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The key to all this, the key to glorifying God and giving him honor is simply to go with and flow with the manifold grace of God on your life. Use what God's given you to the best of your ability. It's not that, again, don't get in your mind, don't get visions of sugar plums, I mean, in your head. I'm talking about, don't think that doing what you do will always make you famous and rich. It's not the point. Doing what you have grace to do causes you to glorify God. That is, you give God the glory, but more than that, other people glorify God because of what you're doing. You inspire people by what you do. You know that? People don't tell you that, but you actually do inspire people when you go with the grace of God. You know, Sean talking about this acid reflux, is that correct? And how I can't imagine having an acid reflux episode up into my throat and got to sing after that. That's some difficult. That's really tough. See, yeah, that's I'm inspired. Amen. That you would even consider going forward having episodes like that. But see, all of us should see the grace of God in our lives, dealing with and overcoming and causing us to rise up despite of the circumstances. Amen. Your parents did that. Your grandparents did that. I've become a lover of history. I mean, as a kid, I despised history class. I even failed a class. I shouldn't tell you this. I'm going to tell you. Telling myself. I hate telling myself. Y'all don't tell yourself. You don't tell yourself. Okay. I failed an art history course at John Heron. Now, I retook and did great, but I just wasn't interested in all that history. Then I found out you wouldn't be here today, boy, without that history. You don't stand here by yourself. You stand on the shoulders of other people. Even art, the techniques, the things you're doing, we've seen all this before. Went to the art museum with Dad on Friday, art museum, and we saw a sculpture that had been done in marble. What year was that? 1800s. It was a long time ago. I'll just say 1800. We saw a painting that old. I'm talking about 200 years ago. I don't think there are not many people in the world today who could do the stuff we saw in the museum. I mean, somebody can. But why do we think that everything today is better? People are smarter, they're more artistic. Folks are dumber today. In many ways, we high definition with low definition lives. Come on, somebody. We got high def television and low def programming. It's still garbage coming on there. You just see it clearer now, you know. So let God have his way. Work with the grace of God in your life. Because manifold grace is everything you need. I'm not overstating that. It's everything you need. So when you read the Bible, you listen to messages, you worship God, you engage in Christian service and doing others for other people, what you should do, all of this engages you in the grace of God. When you step out and begin to do some little writing and little singing, little artwork, or just helping people, I mean, whatever grace gives you to do, when you do it, you glorify God. But more than that, it stirs up something in you. It actually brings more grace. I may even begin a series on grace from here. But one thing about grace is, the Bible says we go from grace to grace. The best thing about the best thing about grace is grace itself. Because grace is the gift that keeps on giving. Grace is that nature and power of God at work in your life all the time. It's the product. It's the product that Jesus deposited in you when you were born again. It's the source, or it's the resource you draw from. Like a well that never runs dry. Amen? You know, people who depended on wells back in the day, that they hope it didn't run dry. Because if your well went dry, you got to move or go some other place. You got to find some water. You can't live anywhere where there's no water. So you got to pack up and go find another place by a river or something, because when your water runs out, so our grace, but grace never runs out. So you know what we have today? Not a lack of grace. We have a lack of dipping into the grace. We don't tap it enough. God has unlimited power. You can never exhaust God. You know, listen, everybody, every Christian in the world, listen to me, every Christian in the world could at this instant start praying to God, and it wouldn't slow him down one bit. Wait a minute. This is too much. You know what I'm saying? He wouldn't say, Galen, your stuff is too deep, man. You stop. And your wife can't continue. You got to stop. You give me, I can't do all this for you right now. No, God never got a problem with that. He's wondering, man, where are you? He's wondering, man, I have laid this out for you. And he says, he's almost saying like, you haven't even tapped a tenth or, you know, of what I have for you. You're bumping through life and you're struggling through life as if you don't have a resource. But the manifold grace of God is everything you need. Amen? Let's all stand. Thank you, Lord.